The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie starring the four biggest powerhouses of the 80s. Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, and Jamie Lee Curtis's boobs.
The movie that thought it was still acceptable to do blackface in 1983.
The movie that presented a 1983 stockbroker doing cocaine as a scandal. And not just, you know, every day.
This is Trading Places on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And I'm Emma Peterson.
Welcome back to the show, Emma, and welcome back to you, our lovely, lovely audience. We don't know, maybe they're not lovely, maybe they're pieces of shit.
Emma's coming back after the very, very vocal and public storming off she did during Moonstruck. I don't know if you heard she threw the microphone down and ran out. We could hear it on the microphone, like all the walking down the stairs.
I mean, she stabbed me first, which I felt was a bit excessive.
Yeah.
I did have to have many, many stitches and small, a bit of surgery. It was a small surgery.
Snap out of it.
Did that awesome, crazy like meltdown thing where she took off her shoe and threw it at us. Not a very common thing to do. It was pretty cool.
In fairness, I did say, what are you going to do, stab me?
If you heard the episode, Eric here was able to just edit a bunch of shit that she had sent in other episodes.
Just put it
to
right
finish
in.
It off.
Yeah, you would never know.
That's how we finish episodes.
You would never know.
Nobody knew. So welcome back, Emma. Thanks. Before we
started recording, I had Francisco and Emma both just say one word, like every word in the dictionary.
Hard
so I could edit it all together. Exactly.
Seven.
Exactly. Just like that.
It's just like
Speedway
Siri.
Boulevard.
Just like you're exactly like Siri or your GPS. It doesn't know how to say Spanish words, which is awesome.
Yeah.
That is great.
Kyle. Diamante.
In the Southwest.
Ajo.
Hearing your GPS try and pronounce Spanish names.
It's pretty awesome.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is pretty hilarious. There's a hack, too, you can put on your phone that changes the accent and shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I really want to do. That's fucking awesome.
I want one that I don't understand, like some weird Scottish, where it's just gibberish.
I change it to Dan Aykroyd doing Jamaican?
Like pikey? Just super fucking...
Oh, something really heavy?
Yeah. Something you're like, what the fuck did he say?
Yeah. Seriously.
I heard like Peaky Blinders and shit. And
I have to watch that show with subtitles.
Yeah.
Or like in Out of Africa, all the tribesmen that I could not understand at all.
Yeah. Ah, man.
That whole movie.
That whole thing with the leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that guy. What the fuck did he just say?
All I heard was leg. I don't know.
And I was like, huh, that's supposed to be funny. Cause it seems a bit funny.
Everyone's smiling as much as tribesmen can.
It's like when you're flirting at a woman in the bar and you're just like, smile.
Sure,
I didn't hear anything.
I hear
the music
off.
Goddamn
so
word you
loud.
Said.
I am not going home with you.
Yeah.
And then it's a question, so they're like,
but I just smile and laugh. And you're like,
no, you're going home with me.
Yeah.
It was a question, so then she's like, so? And like, yeah. No, I asked you what fucking book you like. Yeah.
Yeah, you never read that book? It's
called Yeah.
Ignorant. How about read a book sometimes?
It's by James Shakespeare. It's Bill's cousin. You've probably never heard of him.
Bill.
It's kind of a big deal.
I call him Bill because we're two.
Yeah, because we're boys.
Yeah, we're cool.
We're cool like that, me and Bill Shakespeare.
Yeah, me and Billy Shakespeare. We're awesome. So back in 1983, Trading Places made $90 million. We broke the $90 million.
Yeah, we're talking about Trading Places this week.
Yeah.
Trading Places, Dan
Top
Aykroyd.
Five favorite of all
time.
I fucking
love this
movie.
Emma laying it down right off the top.
Oh, yeah.
I know. We missed you during the Stripes episode because of how much you like Bill Murray. Oh, I'm glad we didn't miss you with
also
this one.
Also, my savior.
Billy Murray?
Yeah.
Again, Billy. I'm chill. I'm chill with Bill Murray, so I call him Billy Murray.
I have respect, so I call him William Murray.
Mr. Murray. Can you call him Mr. Murray?
Yes.
Mr. Murray.
Senior William Murray.
This movie also has Don Ameche and the other old guy in it.
Yeah, sure does. This is a Landis film, John Landis.
Yeah, John Landis, if you guys know who John Landis is.
You know, Max Landis' dad.
Yeah. If you hate Max Landis right now, which a lot of people
do. I guess because of Bright, yeah.
Because of Bright, yeah. Man, people really hate Bright.
I haven't seen it, but I hear it's very bad.
Yeah, but he did American Werewolf in London.
He did.
He did Blues Brothers.
He certainly did.
He killed a man and two children in the Twilight Zone. I don't know if you guys know that, but he totally did.
I'm going to just cut off the Twilight Zone part of that.
He killed a man and two children?
Yeah, I'm just going to leave that in the podcast.
Fact check, please.
No, he legitimately killed. He was acquitted of second-degree murder or manslaughter because that guy and those two kids got cut in half by the helicopter during a stunt in Twilight Zone. He's the only filmmaker to ever be fucking prosecuted.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, for real. This is for real.
They cut them in half?
Yeah, the helicopter fell and cut him in half, like the propellers cut him in half, yeah. Yeah, they died during that stunt, and he was like the only filmmaker to ever be, like, they try to hold him responsible for that, because he's not the stunt man, stunt coordinator, but yeah, of course, you know, they dropped the charges or whatever, but yeah, they brought charges against him.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that fucking crazy?
That's crazy. It makes me like this movie. This movie is now my number one movie of all time.
Yeah, because of known murderer John Landis.
So yeah, Trading Places, 1983. Huge. So Dan Aykroyd already left SNL, was one of the breakout stars of the, you know, the early
of the
years.
70s, yeah.
Best friends with John Belushi.
Yeah, great friends with John Belushi, obviously. Blues Brothers.
They were best friends.
They were the bestest of friends. I thought he was best friends with Harold Ramis.
Not until after he was fucking dead.
Yeah. And so he's on a hot streak. And then Eddie Murphy had just blown up.
On fucking SNL. He saved SNL.
He saved SNL, and then he had just done 48 Hours, which was a big smash hit we talked about a little while ago. And then they team up on this movie. And it's great.
It's magic.
Yeah, and it's pure. Ralph Bellamy is the other guy that I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But yes. Apparently, originally, this movie, they were trying to do...
Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor jam.
Gene Wilder, yeah.
They, of course, did all those team-up movies in the 70s. It makes a lot of sense.
No, it does, but this, I don't think it would have been as funny.
I totally could have seen it work.
But I think, I don't know.
It would have had a different energy, yeah. But I still, I mean...
Well, I mean, Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
When they cast Eddie Murphy, they still wanted Gene Wilder, and he didn't want to be like the new Richard Pryor, so he talked him out of it. And
then yeah, that's good. A smart move.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Because it definitely would have been like...
Hey, this is a new Richard Pryor.
Exactly, like when David Spade did that movie with Artie Lang, where it's like...
We were all like, come on, like, that's not...
That's not Chris Farley.
That's like Chris Farley, you piece of shit.
You can't just pick another fat dude.
Exactly, you can't just pick another fat comedian. It doesn't work like that.
You too, Adam Sandler with Kevin James. Don't just pick another fat comedian.
Speaking of fat, Dan Aykroyd is so skinny in this movie, and it's funny because
he's like skinny cool. And attractive.
But yeah, he is super hot in this movie. But it's weird that, like, if you think about it, he was probably on so much. They were probably all on cocaine.
Yeah.
But like, that's so weird because now he's really fat.
Yeah,
and he was even fat in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's funny because it was just a few years. Because I recently watched the Dr. Detroit with Dan Aykroyd, and he's super skinny and fit in that too.
Yeah, that's only like a year after this.
And so he had like this like 3 or 4 year period where he was just in like shape, and then immediately was like, oh, fuck this shit.
Yeah, I'm Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want.
Exactly.
John did whatever he wanted.
Went out like a fucking shining star.
The other
and
night,
now he looks like he ate 14 other Dan Aykroyds.
Yeah. Oh, he looks terrible. The other night I actually fell asleep. I got home from work and I fell asleep eating a bowl of cereal, and I woke up with like a mouthful of cereal. and I was texting my friend, and I was like, oh, you know, like, hey, I'm not gonna meet up with you because I just woke up and I have a cereal in my mouth and it made me not feel good. And so I was like, and honestly, this like happens more often than not. And I said, but it's your responsibility that if that happens, tell the world that I was doing really awesome heroin like Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like, tell the world that I choked to death on trace. Like some goddamn Walmart brand fucking Honey Nut Cheerios.
Like,
Jesus Christ.
You go down like Mama Cass.
Yeah.
Yeah, ham sandwich.
Ham sandwich.
Yeah. Exactly. That'll be me.
That's bad.
Yeah. That's bad. It happens so much.
I've never woken up with
if you
food
were drunk,
in my mouth.
I wouldn't have
woken up. No, I'm saying if you were drunk, you wouldn't have woken up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've plenty of time. I've left food in the oven. That's my move.
Yeah, that's yeah. where you're
like,
gonna die.
I'm like, I'm hungry.
I'm putting this shit in the oven.
Put some food in the oven, and then I fall asleep. And then like 4 hours later, I'm like, what's that smell?
Why does my house smell like?
The time I went to Vegas and I got fucking blackout drunk.
Oh, you had sex with a burrito.
Yeah. And it was a room with two beds. And then I woke up and I was like just covered in fucking rice and shit. And then I look over and it's just salsa and rice and shit and half a burrito in the bed. And I was like, did I fuck a burrito last night? Did I eat half of it? And I was like, it's still pretty warm. It's just burrito all over my lap and shit.
Yeah.
I have done that plenty of times where I wake up with just food on me.
Yeah.
Like just burrito and shit. And
I just don't spill it. I just don't swallow it.
Yeah, you just put it in your
I just
mouth.
Hold it.
Like a chipmunk.
Till spring.
Yeah. Saving that for the thaw.
For the thaw.
When food is scarce, you will pull out that taco bell behind your cheek.
From behind my molar.
You're laughing at me now, but yeah. We'll see when you're all starving.
Exactly.
Again.
Fuck you, I got a chalupa.
Like the idea, too, that you just pull out a full chalupa.
In the wrapper.
One entire chalupa.
If it was already in your mouth, why didn't you just chew it and swallow it? Nope. No, you did like a normal chalupa.
No, I want to put some hot sauce on it first.
Yeah,
clearly,
hello.
Clearly, I need some fire on this motherfucker.
Fire sauce, which we talked about, pretty good.
No, fire sauce is the best sauce, right?
Yeah, it is the best taco sauce for sure. Yeah. The best fast food taco sauce.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Really like
because Taco Bell sauces are. I mean, Jack in the Box's taco sauce.
Yeah,
is bad.
No, it's bad.
Fucking all of them are. Yeah,
I really like breakfast salsa.
Where?
From I don't know.
Like
where?
Jr.?
Like Whataburger. I really like Whataburger's breakfast salsa, and then like. I think another place isn't a. I know, but Taco Bell does it too now. You can ask for breakfast salsa, and it's like breakfast salsa instead of like packets of hot sauce. It's like packets of salsa, like picante, where it's like chunky.
Okay.
It's good. I'm just saying.
Another fast food hack: if you go in the morning to Burger King, they have jalapenos for free.
What?
You can just take like handfuls of jalapenos?
Yeah, you can just be like, I'm having this egg sandwich with a bunch of jalapenos. You just grab a bunch of jalapenos.
They can't do that the rest of the time?
I don't know. I've only seen them there in the morning.
Weird.
Yeah.
I know that if you want like a sourdough jack, you can like break it down and be like, oh, I want like a patty with like Swiss or however they make the sourdough jack, but you just don't. You order a burger and then you're like, but sub like that cheese for this cheese and then also put it on sourdough bread. And then you pay the price of like the cheaper burger and you save like $4.
Really?
Yeah.
You could just tell them like, make this burger.
You got to hack it, man.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, God damn it.
You figured it out.
Broke the system.
The podcast where we cover all the fast food hacks.
Also, there's a secret menu
at Starbucks.
Starbucks.
That was
and if you go to McDonald's and you tell them, like, Ronald sucks dick, they have to give you a burger for free.
We got more listens on this fucking episode than any other fucking episode.
Shared. We're like the Pinterest of podcasts right now.
Wow, that's very interesting.
It's true. If you wear an actual crown to Burger King, free food.
They have to. Because then you're a
Burger
King. You're the Burger King or Queen.
And as royalty, they can't disrespect you by charging you. That shit's law. Yeah, exactly.
In England, it's law.
That's Burger King law.
In England.
Because they don't want a war.
No.
And
no.
I will go to fucking war.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to charge me for that Whopper, motherfucker? Bring in the Navy.
Yeah, you can pick any one of them to fight. Your choice.
Yeah.
Your choice of which one of them
come
you
come over
fist
here,
fight.
Little lady.
Get in here, child who's a customer and not a representative of Burger King.
Best thing about Burger King, though, is that they have the most onion rings found in your fries of any
right?
fast food
That's
place.
True. That's true.
They're just like
fucking
random
tossing
onion
shit.
Yeah,
right.
They don't give a fuck.
You get the random onion ring more often than
so
not.
So good.
Yeah.
Their onion rings are good, too.
They just grill the onion rings over the fucking french fry thing.
So we're talking about the founder here on the podcast. No, so Trading Places.
So good.
Obviously, you have a all-star cast coming into this, really at the top of their games.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
And it's presents a very 1980s world.
Yeah.
It's all about stockbrokers.
Materials.
Yeah,
like
very commodities trades. Mm-hmm. It's very like rich people doing rich people things.
Yeah.
I do gotta give it the first time that I saw this movie was I saw it in economics class. Really? High school.
Crazy. Yeah.
The super cool teacher, what's his name? I'm going to call her.
Yeah, because she will be fired.
Yeah.
If the school board finds out that she was showing
what's his name?
Movies with
boobs. Well, we didn't see the tits. Like, it was like a TV edit or something she had recorded. And then, yes, but we got to watch it still. And I had never seen like the whole thing. Man, I was super happy that I did.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I was happy I didn't ditch that class like I usually did because it's economics class.
Yeah. I mean, he did get straight F's. Why would I
need economics for?
No.
For my crippling debt?
Right.
No. Still there.
It's still there.
I'm pretty confident that even if I knew how shit worked with money, I would still be in this bad high blood pressure causing debt.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree.
I graduated from Harvard, and I'm poor as shit.
Yeah.
Yale all the way.
Yeah.
And you're facing a couple of felony charges.
Well, I mean, look.
For a second time.
You kill five people in a quote-unquote accident. That's what my lawyers have told me I need to call it. And, things happen.
I like that a couple of felony charges were the only thing that stemmed out of killing five people.
Look, I'm white and I went to Harvard, so.
And I don't want to say, but they were, brown.
My lawyer also advised me to get a Mexican good friend. So that I'll carry a witness.
With a very Mexican name. Nothing that can be changed.
Yeah, first I made a Mexican friend, but his name was John, and they were like, no, that's not good enough.
You're like, it's Juan. They're like, nope. You're going to just say John.
Yeah.
You got to go something longer. Something 13 letters long.
Is your name really 13 letters?
No.
Oh.
But it never used to fit in the standardized testing
really?
Thing. Yeah, it's Francisco. I'd always get my test back and it's Francisco.
No, wow. That's wild.
Stupid racist standardized testing. Also, all the questions were about rich white people stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like economics. How does money work? If I have four quarters, how many dollars do I have?
I still just
Francisco,
this
no
movie, I have no idea. This movie, like, it gets very, very, like, into how economics work, and I still have no idea.
Well, like, this movie doesn't get... I mean, this movie gets into very specific economics.
Yeah.
And...
I do like how they explain it to him, though.
Which they don't really.
Yeah. It's just, like, food.
Well, then, at the very end of the movie, before they go...
That's
and
when
start,
it gets
they,
insane.
They,
yeah.
like... Well, they explained it to you then, but you guys were both talking, so...
Well, yes.
Yeah. Well, we're always talking.
It's true.
That's what we
just
do.
Just saying, they were like breaking it down in that part of it.
Yeah.
But also, there's one major problem I have with this movie in terms of the economics, because throughout the entire movie, they set up that the two villains, if you will, the Duke brothers are clearly embezzling from their company the entire time.
Yeah.
Does that ever come into play?
No.
No. No, it doesn't.
No.
I mean, that's very realistic. Those guys don't ever go to jail for that shit.
Yeah,
but it's weird that you have a movie where our heroes get one up on the corrupt rich businessmen, and you set up for in five scenes that they're embezzling, and that's not part of the resolution. That's really weird.
I also like that they live in a mansion that's clearly like a $700 million mansion, but then when they lose $380 million, they're like, we don't have that.
Yeah. Well, they don't have that in cash.
They had to have it in cash to pay.
No. A lot of rich people, it's all in...
Yeah, it's all in...
It's not liquid assets. No. It's property, it's heart, racehorses and prostitutes. And,
all the prostitutes.
Yeah.
So I guess we should talk a little bit about what the plot is.
Let's absolutely talk about the plot of this particular movie. So,
Dan Aykroyd,
we're introduced to Danny
Murphy,
Aykroyd. Good old Daniel Aykroyd. He is a big-time mover and shaker. He runs the Duke Brothers company.
The stock brokerage.
Whatever the fuck
they're
called.
Stock,
I mean, they're stock brokers.
It's their brokerage company.
He runs the company. He's
got a butler.
Obviously very wealthy butler.
He's got a chick that wants to fuck him.
Yeah, he's a fiance, very rich, proper fiance.
It's their granddaughter.
Yes, it is the Duke's brother's granddaughter. He's living the life.
Yeah. Also, he's a piece of shit.
Clearly, because he's rich. Why wouldn't he be? So then you're also introduced to Edward.
Edward Murphenstein.
Ed Murphy.
When Eddie Murphy, who is
not rich. Why don't we just call him Ed?
Ed Murphy? How come they didn't Nobody called him Ed Murphy.
I don't know. I don't really know very many black people named Ed.
That's true.
That's a very white thing to do.
I'm going to call him Ed.
Do it.
What's he going to do?
Not sue you.
Nope.
Not listening to this podcast. That's my goddamn sure.
He's going to completely ignore us like everyone else.
Like all the other celebrities we called out.
I'm calling you out, Ed Murphy.
I'm deciding we wanted to
fight.
You
haven't tried hard in a movie since 1997.
Excuse me, Daddy Daycare? I'm just kidding.
That was probably 1997.
Probably.
More than likely. So I do not call him Ed. For the love of God.
What if I call him Edwin?
Now we're talking.
Edwin Murphy.
Oh, that's a black guy's name.
Yeah.
Nothing says black guy. Like
Edwin Murphy.
Edwin. Sounds
with
like
a fucking Irish last name.
What? 12th century knight. So Edwin Murphy is he's a con artist. He's a low time or small time thief. Just a regular
he's
old
loitering the fuck out of everyone.
He's not stealing shit.
Well, but you find out later, like, oh, he's been in halfway houses and he's been arrested several times. I mean, he's your. Like, the whole idea is that he's, like, this guy that's always been kind of on the
wrong side of the law. A lifetime criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
From a broken home.
From a broken home. Yeah, we're broken. That is a really good response. He's got a lot of one-liners, that guy.
Yeah, he's running away from the police, and he bumps into fucking Dan Aykroyd, who was carrying a briefcase, and then Dan Aykroyd's like, "Don't, please, don't hurt me. Just take it. Don't hurt me." And then he's like, "Police, police." And then he's trying to give him back the briefcase. And then, you know, more comedy ensues, and then, bam, he gets arrested.
Yeah. And you're right, more comedy doesn't
seem... All because he's black and...
Oh, yeah, exactly. And because Dan Aykroyd's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, he was trying to rob him from that briefcase, clearly.
Yeah, as he's handing it back to him.
And then the Dukes, they make themselves a little pet.
Right, so the Dukes the whole time have been talking about this. There's this article in, like, Scientific America about nurture versus nature is the whole idea, right? Like, whether you're born into greatness or whether that's something that you're learned through your circumstances.
Right.
And so they make this bet for $1.
That's so shitty.
Yeah. They don't know that at this point. They're just like the usual wage.
No, you find out later it's a buck, right? So, and the bet is that if they... Basically, if they give Eddie Murphy a shot, if they give Eddie Murphy's Dan Aykroyd's life, he will succeed. And if they ruin Dan Aykroyd's life, he will turn to crime.
Right.
It's just the games that rich people play.
But it's also like that's not really equivalent because it's not like Eddie Murphy went to Harvard all of a sudden.
Right.
And
he
it's
can't
also
just
not
walk
like
into a
he totally
brokerage.
Does. I don't know if you saw this movie.
He
totally
works
does.
The Harvard. Yeah. I mean, it works out.
And
but
he's doing like the payroll and shit. Yeah. Like, he's doing real work.
Yeah. He does. He totally. And but also like it's not as if Dan Aykroyd like it's not the same as like being born poor to being like totally ruined and thrown in jail for something you didn't commit. Like that's not exactly equivalent.
No. No,
but, you know,
but it's a
fun comedy.
Yeah,
the games that rich. If I was rich, I
would obviously you would fuck with people constantly. Yeah,
oh my God.
I mean, you're doing it now.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's the only reason Donald Trump became president was on a lark.
Yeah,
he bet Steve Jobs $1. Yeah, what's he gonna do? I know Steve Jobs is dead, but he's still got to go through with the bet.
Still
has to follow Trump doesn't know that.
Yeah,
he has the best.
He's
job.
Been talking he's to Siri the entire time. He assumes Steve. Jobs That's is still alive.
He knows Steve Jobs. He loves Steve Jobs. He has the best Steve Jobs
in all the world.
Greatest Steve Jobs
you've ever seen.
He created Steve Jobs.
He actually invented Apple computers. I don't know if you know that, but he said it multiple times. And if you say other words, that's fake news.
Would you do that shit? Like the, or even like the A Million to Juan, you know, being a Mexican, that's my trading places. No, I'm just kidding. Like when he just shows up and gives him a fucking check for $1 million. Like if you were a multi-millionaire or like a billionaire, would you just do that shit and just see what happens?
Probably.
Yeah, right?
Because it's funny. I mean, it is funny. Like those people don't expect it and like, I don't know. They fuck it up. That's on them.
It would be like they bought so much crack with that shit.
Yeah.
And then just
burn it.
Yeah. They started a multi-million-dollar.
I feel like though in real life, we've seen billionaires... They don't just give their money away. They actually make more money.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah. They don't like to give money
away. No. They're actually incredibly petty when it comes to money.
Oh, yeah.
Despite, they hang on to it for dear life. They do not spend it.
No.
Or they spend it like they hide it in other countries. And shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't like to pay taxes.
Fuck you, rich people.
Yeah. She's going to go right. Unless you would like to sponsor us, in which case. We
I love you,
ready and willing to kiss ass.
Yeah, I don't know. You think? I feel like if I became rich.
All right, if you became rich, first move. I mean, after obviously the like you know the cars and the prostitutes and the coke and everything else,
and the covering up the murders of the prostitutes.
Yeah. After all of the normal shit,
the Wiggles. The after you get the Wiggles the, out.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. After you go through the three stages of richness,
first move, I become Republican.
I was going to say, clearly.
And then everybody else is a piece of shit, and they're stealing our jobs.
Obviously, obviously.
They're loading this country with guillotine.
Yeah, they are. They are mooching off of my hard-earned money that I won through the lottery.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, first things first, Republican. Like, vicious, horrible Republican.
You're just so right-wing.
That is also true.
It's like the Dave Chappelle where he thinks he's a white guy.
That is also true when you get to a certain age.
Yes. Oh, like, Jesus
first
Lord.
First thing when you turn like 55, Republican.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because fuck the young people. I don't know what they're doing.
Charles Barkley always had a good quote, which was, I think it was, anyone under 30 that's a Republican has no heart, and anyone over 30 that's a Democrat has no brain. So,
you get to a certain age.
Yeah, you get to a certain age.
You own property. You
know? Yeah.
401ks and shit.
Yeah.
And then you want more money. Yeah, what about you? First thing you do? Unless you get your Wiggles.
Well, I thought you were going to fuck with poor people. I thought that was the whole point.
Oh, you're just like, yeah.
Was that I'm going to dangle, I'm going to do like, have you ever seen,
and then I go heartless and then.
Well, yeah, obviously. But have you ever seen like in the WWE, they do the briefcase matches where they have the briefcase hanging above full of money hanging above the ring. I feel like I would do that with like poor people. I would just get like a bunch of homeless people together and put like $10,000 in a briefcase and be like, kill each other.
All right. First of all, I don't know if you saw bum fights. You can do that shit for $10.
Yeah.
You don't need to be rich for that.
You can do that for like $1.50. Yeah.
Well, all right then.
Pay homeless
I've got things to do. Yeah. Goodbye, podcast.
I've been in downtown Tucson enough. I know that shit goes for 75 cents.
Yeah. Now, if you're talking about like middle class people, that I think would be funnier. Like maybe upper middle class people, somebody who's got something loose.
Yeah.
And who's never fought a day in his fucking life.
Right.
Maybe that would be entertaining. Mm-hmm. Because then you have like polo shirts covered in blood.
Just take a bunch of middle managers.
Yeah, like middle management.
Yeah.
I would love to see.
Just go to my old job, which I won't mention for legal reasons, but may or may not have been with a very large banking corporation. Just go to them, get a bunch of middle managers together that I know, and have them fight to the death for my amusement.
I think it would be hilarious.
Yeah, you're in the international waters. There's no laws on it.
No. Exactly. That'll be on my like Lex Luthor style island that I have made in the middle of the fucking ocean.
Fucking yeah. And fighting middle management is part of the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Sightslandia, you fight for my pleasure.
Sightslandia. Why don't you go with Sightstopia?
That sounds too happy. Utopia.
I was going to say, you're lending towards a false premise. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Or I feel like maybe even like the... I'm going to workshop this. Soviet Republic of Sightslandia. I don't know.
I would go with the island that Eric killed himself on. I will go with that one. I think that's going to be the
name. That's the island when I am poor. That's what that island's named.
I don't know why you have an island if you're poor, but all right.
Well, it's not actually...
He got dumped there.
It's a very small island.
There's no trees.
Yeah.
No,
it's my castaway island.
Salt water.
It's my castaway island, which is basically just a rock that's like 100 feet off of the coast of San Diego. Like, it's my island, bitch.
There's my paradise. Yeah. Here's my island.
It's in the middle of a man-made fishing lake. Yeah. You just swam out to kill yourself.
That floating dump in the middle of the ocean.
I just find a place in the middle of Lake Powell that's only like a foot deep, and I'm like, nah, good enough. Swamp lands.
Swamp.
This is it.
Mosquitoes as fuck. Okay, back to the movie.
Lake Powell is a lake in northern Arizona.
We're painting a very accurate picture of
This is exactly what this movie is about. So they decide to crisscross to kill each other's murder victims so that they don't have any motive.
Yeah, the old switcheroo. Right?
Switcheroo, yeah.
The old ones.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait.
That's not what we're talking about at all. So Don Amici and good old whatever his name was that I forget, the Dukes, they decide that they're going to ruin Dan Aykroyd's life. Meanwhile, they're going to bail out Eddie Murphy and make him into their new head of whatever the heck, even though he is a... He's black.
Yeah, there's a... What's the line that he says?
He says...
Something wrong with him.
He calls... Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course there is.
Of course something's wrong with him. He's a Negro.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
They do also say the N-word.
Yeah, they do.
They do later, yes.
Yeah.
So...
Which, I mean, no surprises there.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, they also said the F word a couple of times, like...
Yeah.
Oh.
Apparently, Don Amici is very religious, and he was not comfortable with it. So they only did that one take of him saying, fuck him, and then he wouldn't do it again.
No, I didn't mean that.
You were talking about fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, one of the things I saw in the trivia, which I don't know how true it is, because, we don't do any research.
Again, all of our research is just us looking shit up on the internet right before we record. Yeah.
It said that one of the original titles for this movie was Black and White. Which, I don't know if that sounds right.
I mean, it could if you're really playing the race thing, which they don't really play that hard.
No, they're really playing like the money.
They're money. It's all about the money.
So then,
which I think is the right move to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is about.
Because that's what it's about, exactly.
But just the perfect amount of racism.
Yeah, I mean, there is obviously the underlying, it's the unspoken thing that... Eddie Murphy is black, and Dan is white.
And he is the only fucking black guy in that whole building.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of shots, except for the servers.
Like you said, there's the bit. Yeah. Once he comes in with the suit, and before he can even introduce himself, the secretary's like, oh, they're waiting for you right there. It's Mr. Valentine. How do they know who he is? Oh, he's the only black dude
in this entire brokerage.
Exactly.
It's not working there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's the only black guy that's not a janitor that you see in this fucking movie.
Yeah, or a fucking driver.
Or like a criminal,
Yeah. Damn rich people.
So they ruin Dan Aykroyd's life. They frame him for theft and then drug possession and embezzlement and all this shit. He goes to jail.
They break him up with his girlfriend by hiring one.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah, Jamie Lee reappearing. She was in way back in episode 4. Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah,
such a good movie.
Is this our first Dan Aykroyd?
First Dan Aykroyd, somehow. Third Eddie Murphy. Second
Don Amici. Yeah, they do this thing where there's this guy Deeks, right? That works for the Dukes or Beeks, and he pays Jamie Lee Curtis a hooker to break them up to pretend to like.
Right. So his girlfriend comes to bail out Dan Aykroyd. And he's telling her like, "Oh, this is all a huge mistake." Blah blah blah. And she's kind of being a bitch about it, but. Yeah.
But then Jamie Lee Curtis comes in and kisses him. And he's like, come on, just give me another hit. I'll do that thing you like. And then she gets on her knees. And then we don't see what she's doing down there.
But you hear the unzip.
Yeah. So, but there's cops like everywhere. Yeah. So she clearly is like almost blowing him.
Yeah.
If not blowing him.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the girlfriend reacts correctly by leaving. But the cops do not react correctly.
Yeah.
Unless that happens all the time. I don't know. Maybe they're just like high-fiving.
Yeah. Way to go, bro.
It is Philadelphia.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I would do that if I was a cop.
You're just walking by and like, high five.
Yeah. I feel like I would just do that if I was, I'm a human man. If I saw another guy getting a blowjob in the middle of a fucking street, I'd just be like, right on.
I was watching footage of some of the stuff that was happening in Philadelphia after the Super Bowl. And these motherfuckers were like picking up like piles of horse shit and eating it for no reason.
Like, we won the Super Bowl. Time to eat
I'm gonna
horse
eat
shit.
Some horse shit. Yeah, like I don't. So Philly, anything goes, I guess. So you could blow a guy on the steps of the courthouse.
I'm moving to Philly.
I mean, you're gonna eat horse shit. Maybe
and maybe get a blowjob.
Look, at least what are the chances that the Eagles are going to win again? Cut to me in a year from now. Well, fuck. Well, I guess I'm going to eat horse shit.
You could also just be Rocky.
I mean, yeah.
Or anybody from It's Always Sunny.
I mean, I already am.
I mean, we are. Yeah. From like, Always Sunny. We live that life.
We are living that life. So.
One time I was walking down 4th Avenue and there was a girl taking a piss in front of Caruso's, an Italian restaurant. And she was like on the steps, like just pulled her pants down and was peeing. And two cops were walking towards me, and I was like, "Oh, this is gonna get good." And the cop looked over, and he was like, "Ew!" And then they just kept walking.
was like, all right. I guess I can see, like, not having to deal with the half-naked drunk chick.
I feel like, yeah. You got bigger fish to fry, right?
Yeah. Like, I got to beat up some homeless people. I'm not going to mess with this rich white bitch.
She's just a college kid trying to, like, do college kid things.
Yeah. Hey, get out of here.
With social media, man. Like, you can't even, like, do college dumb shit anymore without a million people being like, oh my God, can you believe this?
And then back, we hate social media anyway. Yeah. You can tell by our...
By the fact that we never post anything ever.
We never promote
the podcast. I haven't tweeted in like 7 months.
But we talk about it all the time. You know what else we talk about all the time?
Our sponsors.
Our Yay. Sponsors.
You know who won't piss on the streets? Beer.
Stop right there.
Slow down there.
Has it pissed on the streets recently? Wait for confirmation.
Not on like main streets.
Side streets.
I keep it to myself. Sort of.
So our first sponsor is, of course, the People's Choice Video. Providing the movie. It is your best and one of your only choices for movies, adult films, video games, buy, sell, trade, rent. It's the best.
Stuff. And you can rent Trading Places there.
You can rent Trading Places there. You can get the very newest of new movies. Watch my favorite movie of 2017, Blade Runner 2049.
Wow, that's so good.
Available now.
So good.
Second sponsor? Beer Geek Bakery.
Yay. Beer Geek.
There are so many things coming up. I'm not sure when this is going to be posted, but Arizona Beer Week is coming up in like a week and a half.
This will be posted on Sunday.
Okay, so Arizona Beer Week starts, and it actually starts on Sunday, and it's going to be crazy. Look for it on Facebook or Instagram.
Follow Instagram, Facebook, search for Beer Geek Bakery. It's the best. It's delicious snacks made with craft beer, events all the time.
Catering.
Special, that's orders. Right. You can order special. You got a special event coming up. You got a wedding. You got an anniversary. You got Valentine's Day.
Check. Done it.
She makes those cakes like Cake Master where they look like cars.
Yeah,
like,
I totally do that. Yeah. If you want a rendition of your lover's face. And or
that's right.
That's pee-pee
perfect,
hole.
Just like perfect.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, or if you want my face, because I'm clearly better looking than your lover. So
I would like you to make a cake of your friend. You pick a friend.
You pick any friend.
But make him look exactly like you guys.
I do not want that friend at my party.
Again, if I was rich, I would fucking do that.
Cake makers across the nation are what the fuck? No, I make good brownies though. No car cakes.
Yeah. So follow Beer Geek on Instagram and Facebook. Find out about all the amazing events. And also follow us, of course.
We're Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Follow us. And we all have Facebooks. Just follow us.
Or don't. No, I'm just kidding.
No, follow us. All I do is post about the podcast, so.
It's true.
You don't have to put up with any of my, like, bullshit about, like, look at my fucking kids. Or fucking, like, no, I don't give a shit about that.
I tagged you in a super funny avocado thing, and you didn't even respond.
Yeah, well, was it about this podcast?
It was about an avocado, and it was funny.
He doesn't like avocado.
That's what it was about.
Well.
It was funny.
I'm sure it was. You know what else is funny? This movie we're talking about.
This movie is really fucking
funny.
It's
so funny. I love this movie so much.
Yeah. So after Jamie Lee Curtis breaks them up, Dan Aykroyd is left with no one in his life.
He's super pathetic.
Jamie Lee Curtis, yeah. So he kind of begs her. He's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you can't leave me here. You've ruined my life.
Yeah. Never been a street rat before.
Yeah. Exactly.
So like Aladdin saving Jasmine in the beginning of Aladdin.
You mean Jasmine? No, yeah. Yeah, Jasmine saving Aladdin.
No.
Yeah.
He saves her from getting her hair cut.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And then she saves him from a life of poverty.
Yeah.
Because he gets to bone down.
Yeah. He gets to fly around and
She saves him from a life of having sex with a monkey.
Yeah. Which he was totally doing.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. Clearly. I mean, you don't just keep a monkey around.
No.
No.
Especially if you're going to share food with it. Fuck that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Gotta earn that shit.
So they come back to her apartment immediately. Tits.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's naked. She doesn't care. She's a prostitute.
She's a prostitute,
yeah. Right. She does that shit like four times.
Yeah. Yeah. There's really a lot of tits in this movie. Yeah. So you have her tits, you have the whole party scene.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy, first thing, very realistic. As soon as he gets a shit ton of money, full fucking party.
Right, so well, rager. First though, he goes to his old hangout to like show off in front of all these people that made fun of him. Like clearly, because the bartender when he shows up is like, you piece of shit.
He's like, yeah. And it's like, oh really?
And he just starts throwing money at him and then just buying drinks for everyone. Because clearly, all he's trying to do, just like any one of us would do, is you go to your old neighborhood, you go to your old friends like, and look people at me, and your old enemies and be like, yeah, motherfuckers, mm-hmm. I'm rich as shit now.
Champagne for everybody.
Yeah. Just like when I go to my 20-year high school reunion, I'm going to show off how rich and famous I am because of this podcast.
Shoving a helicopter, dude.
Yeah. Exactly. So
go hire a fucking helicopter.
Yeah. And Romy then, and Michelle's high school reunion.
Exactly. All over. Yeah, I'm doing that shit. It worked 100%.
It worked in that movie to a point, but still.
Hey, they had a good time and
they learned some lessons.
I'm sure they did.
See, but like he does in the movie, he realizes that they're just there to use him for like his
new money
party.
I'm
know?
Okay with that.
But I'm the opposite. I'm like, you're dead to me forever now, so you don't get any of my money.
Yeah. Well, yes, I'm not going to give.
I mean, no, but like, don't even party with me. Like, watch me party. I want them to sit on a couch in a room, separate, like down the hall, and have to watch.
There was topless girls, though, Emma.
There was topless girls.
There was topless girls.
I thought you said tacos for a second, and I was like, there were fucking
tacos. There
was
also tacos.
There were tacos.
I mean, that's one way to put it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there was tacos.
There were tacos.
So yeah, he throws a big rager at his place after he brings all these people over.
They give him a position that's $80,000 a year.
Well, that's what they're paying him. I feel like Dan Aykroyd is making five times that much.
Yeah, of course. But I, you know, adjusted for inflation, that's $14.2 million.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
At least it is kind of weird that when Dan Aykroyd goes to the bank, he's like, "I have $150,000." Like, I feel like you should have more than that. But
you should have like $1 million.
But maybe that is
maybe it's all overseas
for 83.
Okay. Yeah, that's true for 83. Again, adjusted for inflation.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's $42 billion now.
Although it also does feel like...
It's not all his shit. It's all the Duke's shit.
It feels like the Dukes were paying him in stuff, which is a good way to get around taxes, but is a bad way to get around retirement.
Because his butler works for the Dukes.
Right. His house is the Dukes. Mm-hmm. All the shit in the house
Even
is the Dukes.
Like, again, the car... His fiancée, I feel like.
Is the Dukes. Yeah.
It's their granddaughter.
The again, it's a good way to get around taxes because you're not actually getting paid...
You just have a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I'm sure he was living the extravagant lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and they were probably paying for all of his dinners, all of his vacations, all that shit.
Yeah.
All of his dinners with current Eddie Izzard.
Yes. All of his dinners with
There's a guy who looks just like Eddie Izzard looks now.
Yeah.
But back in 1983, like Eddie Izzard traveled back in time. He's like, I'm going to be in 20 places.
Eddie Izzard did travel back in time.
Yeah.
That's why his comedy. he's so out of place. So out of time. You can't do transgender jokes anymore, Eddie Lizard. Come on.
Get it?
Yeah, sorry, man.
Yeah, can't do that.
You ever like go back? Speaking of that, like Eddie Murphy's fucking stand up. If you listen to it, he makes a lot of anti-gay jokes.
Oh yeah. And it's a lot of weird like African jokes, like anti-gay jokes and stuff like that. Yeah,
half of his fucking set
is faggot
stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm just saying that because he said it.
Yeah, no, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of super homophobic stuff in there. And there's some stuff in here, too. There's the one he says, like, are these guys faggots?
Yeah, because when they start courting him, they think that he's courting them for anal sex.
They're pranking me, right? Nope. They're faggots.
Look, in 1983, the only thing scarier to a black man than the police or rich white people was rich white faggots.
Yeah.
So.
It's true.
Because they were everywhere.
Just trying to like get up in that ass.
Get up in that Eddie Murphy ass. So they ruined Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd is ruined now. A part of being able to see Jamie Lee Curtis's boobs all the time.
Yeah,
I feel like that's
awesome.
A big plus.
That's a very big plus. Although
he moved up that way.
Why does she give a shit about him, Emma?
Because remember the whole thing is that she's gonna get money from him. She said that if she
does, she believe that like through all of this, is she still on board with that?
I think so. Because
why are they
also
together
like,
at the end?
Also like his injured puppy thing. You know
you
what
think
I mean?
She had the little Florence Nightingale? Is that what it was?
And then also, like, the payoff could have been and was Good for her.
Because he did take her to the bank where they clearly said, you know, the IRS is seizing your assets and shit. So clearly
he had money.
He had assets, but, you know, rich people.
Yeah.
Figure
and also, he was real fucking pathetic, so.
Yeah. And she checks his hands and is like, you never worked a day in your life.
Yeah. And also, she did fuck him over pretty hard, like, for $100. She didn't know it, but she did.
Yeah, that's true. She did ruin his life.
Yeah.
At least part of it.
You think it was guilt then?
Yeah.
Guilt part and then, like, the puppy.
Especially puppy because aspect. He said, you ruined my life.
I tell that to women all the time, and only, like... 3 out of 10 sleep with me, so I feel like that's not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm very charming.
Yeah, it's true. White boy magic.
So.
But he does, and then like when he
spirals,
boobs out.
Yeah.
She just boobs out no matter what.
Yeah, no, she's boobs and thong, and I mean, look.
Yeah.
This is at the height of her powers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he spirals out, and at the same time,
Eddie Murphy does really well. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as he, so there's the party scene where he immediately starts kicking people out, even though there are topless women wanting to fuck him.
He becomes all bougie. And he's like, no.
Exactly. He's like, you're ruining all my shit. You're using all my shit. Get the fuck out.
It's a Persian rug.
Exactly. From fucking Persia, you know?
It is really funny That's how mean. Everything happens in like 2 days.
Yeah, it really quick.
But it doesn't.
He goes from con artist pretending to be blind and like missing his legs to bougie businessman in like 36 hours.
But I don't know how much time passes because I think it's more like a month worth of time.
Oh God, a month?
Well, because he said something.
There's a Thanksgiving line, and then Christmas party is when you see Dan Aykroyd at the very fucking lowest, which is great.
Yes, he's in Santa Claus, just fucking putting like whole fish inside his Santa outfit.
Yeah, and tries to frame Eddie Murphy to no avail. Pulls to no out. Yeah,
yeah. Almost shoots himself in the head.
Yeah.
Gun doesn't work.
Meanwhile, Eddie Murphy goes to the bathroom and smokes some weed.
Yeah.
He likes the weed.
Exactly.
And he overhears, he does one of those things that you're not supposed to do in movies, but very funny still in this. He overhears the fucking plot.
Right.
Like, he overhears a huge plot point, which is that the whole thing is
It's very convenient, yeah. But it works. And I think it works in part because Eddie Murphy really sells it.
Yeah.
Like, first he sells grabbing the weed, so he's, like, throwing out all the drugs that Dan Aykroyd tried to plant on him, and he sees the, like, joint, and he's, like, sticks it in his pocket real quick, and then he sneaks into the bathroom, and he does that thing where he gets up on the stall to, like, blow the smoke into the vent.
And then as soon as they say
the N-word when they're talking about him, he has the great eyes wide reaction of just, like, oh, shit, yeah.
We also didn't talk about the great scene where they're trying to explain financing to him.
Oh, and they give him fucking breakfast, basically. Yeah.
They're like, this, like, we invest in a lot of things, like pork belly, like you would find in bacon, as in
it's like, goddamn, I know what a fucking pig is. Yeah, exactly. And he looks at the camera. Yeah.
Which is a John Landis thing to do.
So, yeah, exactly. The little kind of quasi fourth wall breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you'd see, I mean, that's... The whole, like, all of The Office's success owes to...
Oh, my God.
To that shot, yeah, basically.
To the shot of, like...
Where it's just, like, something ridiculous, and then look at the camera, like...
Steep girl. Yeah,
are you hearing this? Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
Old school Laurel and Hardy thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oliver Hardy would always, like, stop and look at the camera, like, you see what I gotta fucking do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always funny. I mean,
yeah,
it's
funny.
It's a good
one of my favorite bits in Robin Hood Men in Tights is when they have to check the script.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They all pull out the script. Yeah. I fucking love that shit.
Another shot?
He gets another shot. They all have their scripts under their butts.
Yeah. That's where you keep them. So, Eddie Murphy obviously figures out exactly what's going on, and he tracks down Dan Aykroyd.
Tries to kill himself.
Dan Aykroyd has tried to kill himself with pills, and the end result is they kind of hash it out a little bit, and they're like, we're going to fucking turn the tables.
Yeah, let's get them back. Their own game.
So, their whole thing is, again, I mentioned, they were embezzling, very obviously.
They were, well, it was like inside trading shit. Like, they were getting like... Because they were paying that dude to get the crop reports before they were actually
That's what actually becomes the thing. But before that, all the stuff where they have this person on the payroll that they're paying
that,
like...
That's that dude.
That's Beeks. They were going to pay Beeks a $10,000.
And they paid him $50,000 and then they paid him another $10,000 after they got the...
Yeah, that's what he takes to carry the books. And he's like,
I thought they were just also in... I thought it was two separate things.
No.
Yeah, that was...
Okay.
Beeks.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Yeah. Thank you, Emma.
Telling you, top five.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
So they're paying Beaks to give them this this report ahead of time, which is the
it's the agricultural report about orange juice, about frozen orange juice.
Right. And if it's if the winter is going to affect.
And look, we're not going to explain any of this because it doesn't make sense. We're not smart people, and we don't know business, so we don't understand any of this. The bottom line is that Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd like switch. They have this whole plan where it's like a costume party for New Year's. They end up switching the report with a different report. They give it to the Dukes, and it's completely wrong. We should mention there is some monkey rape. There's yeah. some ape rape.
And another dude are taking this monkey around. And then there's...
Ape, clearly.
There's ape. Yeah. And James Belushi is dressed like an ape.
Yeah, good old Jimmy Belushi.
So you get two cool cameos in that fucking
scene. Yeah.
And then Dan Aykroyd, blackface. There's three cool things.
Jamie Lee Curtis in a German outfit, but being Swedish.
Yeah,
because she couldn't do the accent. Evidently, she couldn't do Austrian.
Yeah,
she couldn't do whatever the fuck she was pretending. So
I feel like
to
you
do.
Just talk like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're doing his classic fucking African accent,
yes, which he does all the time. We're going to talk about Coming to America.
It's just, fucking I great. Feel like maybe it was an excuse for Eddie Murphy to do it.
Yeah, probably.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He's good at it.
Because again, it's a costume party.
It's they the same thing with like SNL where they're just like, what are you good at? All right, we'll do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let's do more of that.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing, it's a costume party. So they could have just been dressed in costumes and he wouldn't have recognized them. No. Yeah. He had to be blackface.
And then, well, as soon as Eddie Murphy was like, you know, I'm going to do this African guy and I do, you know, there's all, it, you know, Dan Aykroyd clearly was like, well, I'm going to do the Jamaican. Actually, yeah. That's Italian, but.
Yeah. I'm going to do Jamaican. I like it.
It's a me, a Jamaica. I'm Bob Marley.
Yeah, man, I like the rest of Bob Marley, eh? I come from Jamaica.
We smoking a weed. Choking a chicken.
We make the jerk chicken.
Oh, my God.
So, Dan Aykroyd has blackface.
And he does an actual Jamaican accent.
He does. And, yeah, that's a weird scene.
They pull
scene.
The old suit.
But the bottom, the no, yeah.
And then they dress the other guy in the monkey suit and throw him in there with the ape.
Exactly.
Who then
so
proceeds
where he
to
gets
rape
raped
him.
Him. Yeah. It's hilarious. Nothing funnier than monkey rape or ape rape.
Yeah, ape rape.
It's very funny just thinking of ape juices after that.
Ape rape.
That costume was all full of holes in the back after that.
So then they go, and the day, January 2nd, is the day the crop reports are going to be
Right, released. And so they've switched the reports out.
A bit of the old Eddie Murphy good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, exactly. Eddie Murphy does his great, like, 1950s, like, here's a report, see? Give him the money, see?
Even though they know him,
yeah.
He worked for them.
Why he's in the dark the whole time, who knows? So they get a false report and decide to start buying up orange juice. That's obviously the wrong move. Well, Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy show up. And they use the money that... So the butler, who we should mention, he's in the Indiana Jones movies. He's awesome.
He is awesome.
And Jamie Lee Curtis has been saving her money from whoring herself out. And they use that money to then invest in all this orange juice stock. They make a buttload of money. The
whilst ruining.
While the Dukes lose like $350 million.
Yeah.
Get kicked out of the stock exchange.
Yeah, they lose their seats on the exchange.
Yeah, so they're ruined.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, then we cut to them living on the fucking beach in who knows where, the fucking...
They were playing steel drums, so maybe Jamaica.
Yeah. Jamaica, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Back to Dan Aykroyd's accent.
That other dude is on his way to Africa whilst being raped by the ape.
Yep.
Yeah. They had to tie that knot off.
Like, yeah, exactly.
They had to let us know
that guy's still
will continue to be
raped by an ape.
And possibly eaten by him.
Probably. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, apes eat... I would assume they would just eat somebody in a cage with them.
Once they find out that that's no long, that's not an actual ape.
Yeah.
That's not a gorilla.
Right.
He's like, I've been fucking a human being? Fuck that.
Yeah. I don't want my friends to find out I was fucking a human. That's
They'll
embarrassing.
Disown me.
Exactly. My family would
my
disown
family.
Me. Exactly.
That's what eggs come
am I supposed to come back to them and tell them this is my wife?
I'm not doing it, Jerry.
No. Ridiculous. So, and then, Dan Aykroyd and Jamie Lee Curtis get together for some reason. And Eddie Murphy just has this random black chick we've never seen before for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason.
And then the butler just gets to order around other servants.
He also has a chick.
Yeah.
Oh, he does. Yeah, an Asian chick.
Everybody gets a chick. everybody gets money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's how happy endings work.
Yep. I mean, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. So we talked before on the other last two, how would you make this movie
better? Yes, exactly. How would you make this movie better? So I'm thinking, instead of switching a poor black man and a rich white businessman, you instead switch out TV personality and host Jimmy Fallon with an actual literal otter.
Otter.
And then they still make the bet?
Well, I feel like, first of all, would anyone notice the difference?
Yeah.
If you just had a wading pool on top of the desk with a live otter in it, would like anyone notice the difference?
Just smiling ridiculous, yeah. Like laughing at its own joke.
If you just messed up the hair enough and put a little gel in it, would anyone notice the difference?
He's got the same little hands.
Yeah.
Ugh, he has little hands.
That would be the flaw in your plan, because it would just think it's him still. It would never work, because you're supposed to have two different characters, but they would just be like, that's still Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but wouldn't it prove that an otter, that Eddie Murphy otter could do Dan Aykroyd, Jimmy Fallon's job just as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess if that's the bet, that's true.
That is I feel like if you threw Jimmy Fallon into the Pacific Ocean, he would just, I don't know,
he would otter it up?
Yeah, he would just otter. He would just otter it.
Pretty resilient.
Yeah.
The guy survived 20 years in show business despite zero talent that I can see.
Not being funny. So in the Stripes episode, I said that if you had Eddie Murphy in that episode as one of the side characters, that movie would be better. Then and then Out of Africa, I said, if you have Eddie Murphy
as one
of the servants, movie would be better. And this one, two Eddie Murphys. And 3 Dan Aykroyds.
Oh, okay.
Just a mishmash of fucking Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyds.
No, you're right. Because if you recast the Duke brothers as Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd in old dude makeup, that movie is 100% better.
Yeah, exactly. That's a Coming to America style level of comedy.
All of the Norbits and every other movie that he made dressed as a fat suit.
And what if Jamie Lee Curtis was also Eddie Murphy in drag?
Yeah, that still works.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny with lipstick on.
Exactly. What if What if Bugs Bunny played the Eddie Murphy role?
I was going to say, what if you just replace them all with Looney Tunes characters?
Yes, exactly. What if this was a Looney Tunes skit from 1947? I mean, that would at least make the blackface relatable.
Yeah, it would make it appropriate.
Or appropriate, rather.
Or not appropriate, but
I mean,
socially
acceptable. Yeah.
What about you? What do you think?
This is a curveball, and I don't appreciate it. I didn't know you were doing this.
We always do this now.
If you listen to our podcasts.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
All right.
So. This movie is perfection, and I wouldn't change a dime of it except for the whole gorilla thing.
So when they remake this movie next year, who do you cast?
Ugh.
A real live gorilla?
No.
Put a CGI
guy? As Dan Aykroyd?
I would be down for that.
Andy Serkis and the guy that, what was it, Toby Keeble?
Yeah.
As Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy?
And they're just...
But they're also monks? They're also apes the whole time?
Put in the apes? All right, I'm on board. It's just, like, that's going to be the next Planet of the Apes. It's just, like, now it's, like, their political shit.
Of course.
And it's just stupid bureaucracy.
Yeah.
They have to deal with. Now they're smart enough to have that stupid shit. Like
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
They're, quote, unquote, smart enough to have government.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, then, if it's a curveball, what's your recommendation?
We have no time.
Do it.
Wolf of Wall Street! Wolf of Wall Street!
Okay.
Wolf of Wall Street. There's a lot of coke in that movie.
There's a whole bunch of fucking coke in that movie. And that's based on a real guy that's all that fucking crazy insider. Mm-hmm. Well, penny stocks and shit.
Yeah.
Eric, do you recommend it?
Time!
I recommend Brewster's Millions because it's also like crazy rich people doing crazy rich people stuff to a black guy.
Yeah.
All right, never mind that. Next up, we're talking about Karate Kid. Karate Kid. Ooh.
Yeah,
the story about two rich guys that bet that a white guy can't learn karate.
Starring Jackie Chan.
Starring Jackie Chan and Will Smith's kid. Starring Pat Morita and what was the guy's name?
Ralph
Macchio. Yes, Ralph Macchio. Hilary Swank. Exactly. Hilary Swank was the guy's name.
Yep. Prove me wrong, Hilary Swank.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong.
Just drop them drawers. Ralph Macchio.
Oh, she did that.
Not to be confused with Ralph Macchio. Did she really?
I didn't know that. What is that movie called? Oh, Jesus.
I didn't think you saw anything, did you?
No, but I mean, the whole movie is her pretending to be a dude.
Right, and then she gets raped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
that's not funny. way to ruin the podcast, Emma.
I like that we didn't have time for recommendation, but we have time for your weird karate rant.
Fuck you, first of all. All right, so Karate Kid next week. It's great. And until then... Emma, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks.
I'm EG Sites.
I'm Francisco Landino.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Like, subscribe, and all that shit. Good night and good journey.
We love you. Say it.
And I'm Emma Peterson.